Horror Flee Red.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Poorly Read.
I mean, it's not that special. We do it quite frequently.
Hey.
Right, I'll let myself out. Yeah.
As always, when we reach the end of a book, we're doing the movie Spectacular. We're going back to Spectacular.
Not Jamboree.
No, yeah, but I think we need a new word every time. Word. Movie Holocaust. Oh. There we go.
I was going to go with Box Social, but okay. Holocaust it is.
No, insert your own word here.
Okay. It's the Goblet of Fire movie blank.
I like that. Yeah, the movie blank. There we go.
All right.
Maybe we won't use that in the official title.
Otherwise, I think we'll have to actually write the word blank or it won't be clear.
Or we could just do like an underscore.
Yeah, underscore.
So the movie underscore and then exclamation mark.
All right.
I like that.
Brackets Holocaust.
Oh, God. So, yeah, this, I'm not going to lie, this was an ordeal for me. I hate this movie with a passion.
Do you know what? So do I now.
I'm ashamed to admit I was getting into it towards the end.
Towards the end, okay, so there were three scenes throughout the film, I've noted them down, that didn't make me want to die.
Okay.
Okay.
They were
the Rita Skeeter Harry in the cupboard scene.
That's sick, yeah.
Which is good. The bit where just after Neville gives Harry the gillyweed and Neville and Harry are walking down to the lake and they have a bit of banter, I quite like that bit.
Mm. All right.
And then the stuff with Harry and Cedric in the maze at the end.
Yeah, I loved the maze.
Yeah,
I thought it was really good.
I thought the maze was really good. Those were the three bits of the films that didn't make me want to shrivel up inside myself.
So I liked the Rita Skeeter bit. I thought the second task was better realised in the movie than it was in the book, actually.
The swimming one.
Yeah. Even though I'm saying that from a distant memory because I skipped the entire second task when I watched the film. But because I saw the movie fairly recently before this, I remember thinking that. And the maze was good, but it really bothered me, the lack of obstacles in it. It was just like spooky hedges.
It was a lot of spooky hedges.
And that bothered me a lot.
Spooky hedges kind of squishing together.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot to actually overcome in the way that there was in the book, which I get for like time reasons and all that shit, but I would have they could have at least had one of the spiders in there, I think.
I too. So thought you were going to say the Spice Girls.
Oh my God, it's Scary Spice. No! Oh, God.
The spookiest one.
Is there nowhere where integration just doesn't reach? Oh, God.
Yeah, I agree. I could have at least had one of those parts.
Yeah.
100%.
I also thought that the Ray Fiends aside, the graveyard scene in general, I thought was very good.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I thought the CGI for him coming turning back into Voldemort was wicked.
Yeah. Do you know, well, I mean, visually, the film's great,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yes, it obviously had a budget.
Yes. It's a terrible film with a massive budget. And do you know what? I still like Ray Fiennes as Voldemort.
Yeah.
He's just too... There's too much flounce. First of all, that bit where he stuck his foot on Cedric's face made me want to vom.
Oh,
I thought that poor guy had to literally let Ryan stick his foot on his face.
I missed that.
Oh, God, it was so vile. I did make a note of it because I was like, I hope they did that in one like take because I wouldn't have been able to stomach.
Oh, so it's not even the thought of Voldemort's foot, it's Ralph Fiennes' foot that really doesn't do it for you.
Oh, God. I wish that they'd kept his eyes as snake eyes
Is that in the book? Is that how it's written?
Yeah, he has snake, like red snake eyes in the book. Because when he first comes out of the cauldron and opens his eyes for like a second, they're snake eyes. When they turn into normal ones, I think they should have stayed.
They've just done away with all eye descriptions in the films then, I guess.
God, yeah. It bothers me so much in the last film. I know we'll get to it in a few months' time, but fucking baby, like...
But fucking baby. Hi, I'm Dan, by the way. I haven't introduced myself yet.
Yeah, Child Lily has brown eyes in the last film. And that really bothers me because you could have easily CGI'd that, and it's really important that her and Harry had the same colour eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so should we properly begin?
Yeah. So David Tennant is in the Riddle House.
That bothers me a lot. I don't think it's necessary at all.
It's just to give David Tennant more screen time, really, isn't it?
Which he doesn't deserve.
Agreed.
I think he's a really good actor, but this is the worst performance of his career, I think.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a note I've made about that later, but
I think it's probably the same one. It's the tongue thing,
it's
right?
The tongue thing.
That was his own like creation, his own thing that he brought.
Really?
That wasn't like directed, yeah. And then Gleeson, Moody.
Domhnall Gleeson.
No, his
Reginald Gleeson.
Oh,
Reginald Gleeson. Not Domhnall Gleeson, his dad.
Oh.
Who plays Moody.
Yeah.
What's his fucking name?
Oh, that's going to bug the crap out of me.
Brendan
Gleeson.
Brendan?
I'm sure Brendan, it's Brendan.
This is
good podcast
this
entertainment.
This is great podcast. he like took that. He sort of took it on and was like, okay. And so he does it as Moody a couple of times as well as like a tick. It was a David Tennant creation, I think.
There was no need for a tick, I don't think. Or it could have been like an eye twitch or just something a bit more subtle than fucking a tongue licky.
But I don't think Moody does it until right at the end when he's got Harry in his office and is about
after the second task.
Does he?
That's why Crouch looks at him and goes, and then that's when we see him dead afterwards.
I was wondering why Barty Crouch died.
Exactly. Have you read? You've read this book.
Yeah,
right?
I've read this book. Yeah.
Can you remember how long ago?
Oh, we're talking 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay, because I'm super curious. We briefly talked about this in a previous episode. You mentioned that one of your friends isn't a fan of the films because it doesn't like films that you have to do research for to understand.
No, it wasn't a friend. It was a YouTuber said that.
Oh,
someone I actually really don't like anymore.
I can get on board with that.
So the complete opposite of a friend.
Someone I neither know nor like.
Yeah, a friend.
Well, because I was thinking throughout a lot of this, if you haven't read the book and if you don't know the story, you must be fucking... The first point at which this film takes a moment to breathe is Dumbledore's speech announcing the Triwizard Tournament.
That's a really good point.
The fact that you see the schools arriving before any mention of the tournament has happened at all.
Yeah.
I was like, that's
you're
bananas.
Like, the fuck is going
this
on?
This is totally it, yeah.
And all the students are like, oh, that's cool. And none of them are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is there a ship in the lake? Are we being taken over by Somali pirates? Am I the captain now?
Well, it'll be safer than fucking Dumbledore in control. Like, this cunt is just off. Like, he's completely unhinged. He's...
Oh, God.
Going back right to the start, just a very quick question. Why does Cedric fall from
jump
the sky?
Jump down from the tree!
Why does he fall from the sky?
I just wrote, Cedric jumps down from a tree like a cunt.
That's a good question.
It's not explained at all.
Maybe that's where his dad keeps him.
So I have a quick question about Portkeys. Why do the kids slam to the ground and the adults kind of very slowly make an aircraft-like descent?
I think the adults let go at the appropriate time.
Right.
I think the kids took too long.
Yeah, it's Harry's first time with the Portkey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the World Cup, the Quidditch World Cup, looks fucking disgusting. It looks like all those tents. It looks crusty.
It looks like a festival.
Dirty. It looks worse than Glastonbury. It looks
yeah,
awful.
I completely agree. I did think this is my idea of hell.
Yeah. It's so
good. But they got magic tents that are all clean
that
and big inside.
That was sick. That was so cool. Good. I really enjoyed that.
Harry looks fucking gormless for looking around the tent though, doesn't he?
Do you know what? Harry's hair gets so big in this film that if you look at him at certain angles, he looks like a Thunderbird thingy. Like
he's got his own centre of gravity. Yeah.
Like he's so blocky and then his hair gets so big that it looks like he's not real.
This was the film that people say this was the year everyone needed a haircut.
Yeah, massively. I think Ron's hair suits him, and the twins.
But I like that they've at least tried to make Daniel Radcliffe's very neat and straight hair messy like it's supposed to be, which is always a little thing of mine.
Well, because you had the messy hair. And
because I had actually messy hair and I didn't get cast as Harry.
I did like that you saw like sort of like other like international wizards, though. I thought that was nice. And like the different ways of like dressing and stuff. I thought that was good.
I'm glad someone was paying attention, because I was just there going, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
I was trying to keep up. I liked that this film continues the first film's anti-Irish agenda. That's like a kind of thread that runs through all of them. Like the comments that one of the twins makes seems like the Irish have got their pride on, and they can hear like burning and screaming outside. And I'm like, what is this trying to say about Irish people?
Oh God, and Seamus like, oh God, it's the troubles all over again.
Unless that's what like Pride Day in Ireland is like.
Okay, so the bit after the Death Eaters, Crouch Jr. just openly walking about in the wreckage.
Mm-hmm.
No invisibility cloak.
Do you know what I was just thinking? Do they ever even explain how he got out of Azkaban?
Don't know.
I don't think
do you know
how
he gets out of Azkaban?
No, I don't think they do.
So there's no explanation at all how he even got to be at the school.
There's no explanation to a lot of it. Dumbledore doesn't explain what prior incantatum is either.
I prefer that.
It's a type of tampon, isn't it?
Well, there you go. You did your homework. Yeah, and he's at the... we're jumping around a bit, but when Harry is in the pensive and is at the trial, why is he there? Why is Crouch Jr. there at the trial suited up?
Jesus, I really don't know.
I can get on board with that, just because if his dad works at the ministry, I can imagine he probably would have had a job there too.
Yeah, and then he just... Karkaroff says his name and he immediately just sort of stands up and tries to run out, and then he gets grabbed and immediately is like, well, the jig's up, and just reveals all.
Yeah.
I will be welcomed back as a hero.
It's not, oh, do you know, it's the tongue bit and then the stupid face he does just afterwards. And I wish I could like it could translate onto the pose, but he does this like kind of face, and it's like, oh God, why didn't they just cut that out? They should have just cut it where we got grabbed and then left it at that.
I would have just put David Tennant's audition tape in. That would have made it more interesting.
Or maybe his dad took like a screen wipe and it's just David Tennant in front of like a grey background just doing some like exposition for it. Not even in character.
Yeah, it turns out the funny tongue thing is just actually a tic that he has. He wasn't embellishing it at all.
Yeah, I had a serious brain injury. Please give me a cat.
Anyway, back to...
life.
Back to life. Back Why to the reality. Fuck does Hagrid have the, like, plane landing indicator paddles?
Yeah, he's doing...
As the... He's got, like, you know, they look like ping pong paddles.
Yeah, that's what I just assumed they were. I like, he obviously likes to do that in his spare time.
They're like what people used to, like, signal in planes as they land. That's obviously
they,
a cute use, little...
Like, glow... Not glow sticks, but, like...
Well, yeah, they do now.
They do, yeah.
They... Oh, is that what they used to use back in the day? Just,
yeah, like, bright coloured.
Fucking hell, I bet that wasn't safe.
No, I bet it wasn't. But,
well,
like...
Well, Hagrid's using them, so, of course, it's not safe. Yeah.
There's obviously just a fun, whimsical little thing, because, you know, oh, it's a landing thing. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
I was watching that thinking, this is going to piss Tom off. Like, this is going to...
Why wouldn't you get someone with a wand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least use red sparks or something.
Yeah. But they're magic horses. Why do they need to be shown where to land?
It doesn't fucking work anyway, because they still come in way too like low and almost.
Maybe it's a case of Hagrid just wanted to be involved, and at the last minute, like just... he broke out of his box and ran out with like his ping pong things.
Give him these. Tell him he needs to wave them around so the carriage knows where to land.
It wasn't even like they just had a very bored Robbie Coltrane on set. Yeah. It was like, "You're right, pal. Can I do something different this time?" And like, "Well, you're not wearing anything below the waist, so this will have to be a waist up shot."
So we get to the whole try wizard explanation and that kind of stuff, the stupid performances from the school.
I hate it.
Did anyone find the butt shot of the girls a bit gross?
Yes.
Like, that was...
I hate everything about the Bobatons entry.
Yeah, and, like, when they just sort of, like, exhaled and, like, maxi pads, like, flew out of their caves.
Oh, and here's a shot of their asses walking in these, in these dresses. Anyway.
And the awful break dancing from the fucking Durmstrang. Yeah. That was so shit.
What did, did that guy really think he was going to get in the tournament?
I get a feeling that guy was like, oh, can I please just like do this thing I've been working on?
And he was to the like, producers.
Yeah, if you want to wait until the end of the day, you can do it in the last shot. And then maybe they, when they went to edit it, there had been like mistakes in every other take, so they had to use that one.
I can totally get on board with that.
And you see... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'll step in here and say and just say that I find Mad Eye Moody's like pervo scan really, really like weird. Cheap and weird in this movie.
Yeah.
And there's also like mechanical zoom sounds when you get the POV shot, which makes no sense. I kind of get the idea that he can choose when he sees through things.
But like, we don't see that at all in the film.
That didn't come across in the film at all.
In the film, he can just look closer or further away.
We get instances...
if I look through this hard enough...
we do. He does look out the back of his head.
When?
In the class when he tells Seamus Finnegan not to put the gum on the bottom of the desk.
Good spot.
That's true. I would have liked to have seen that.
And he does look through a door. We get the whole, we should wrap this conversation up, Potter's on the other side of the door.
He might have just heard Potter fart.
Also, Karkaroff. We have no idea who Karkaroff is yet. We've only seen him in this white jacket and hat, says hello to Dumbledore very briefly. Then we see him in a completely different outfit with no hat. As far as we know, like, who the fuck is this guy? Moving very suspiciously into the room where
I
the goblet
really
of fire.
Fucking stupid. Yeah. Because, like, planting that as, like, a red herring, it bears no actual, like, consequence or explanation.
No.
So it's like, we still don't know why he even went spookily into that room.
No. And there's a couple of other shots where there's talk about some sort of foul play and it cuts over to Karkaroff looking shifty.
Yeah.
That's just so fucking... it's like Scooby-Doo levels of obvious.
Yeah. I was blown away by...
All right, but let's get back to the podcast.
I was blown away by the amazing acting that we saw from Miss Emma Watson in this film.
Oh my God, me too.
It's not going to work.
God.
Everything is so... You would think that she had never seen a film or play or any sort of visual media ever before. Emma Watson really needs to fuck off.
You hear that, Emma?
They should have just got Maggie Smith to like dub all of her lines.
Sorry. What is it with you in this dubbing?
I just want everyone to be dubbed. I just wanted to give you the script and I'll do everyone's voices. And the bit at the end where she's like leaning against like the pillar and then she's like, everything's gonna change now, isn't it?
Woof,
yeah. And it's like, oh, fucking hell, I hope so, because I don't want to see three more films of this. Oh, see, I did not like
God
that.
Damn.
Oh, God, and of course, sorry, I'm not an owl.
Oh, yes.
That bit is like,
I even wrote that line down. Yeah, I'm not an owl.
Yes, fine, but can you please just tell Ron?
I hated the like gratuitous Ron piss off line after Harry's name comes out.
It was so delayed.
Yeah, I remember being in the cinema when that happened, and everyone around me went, "Yeah, woo!" and like clapped, and I literally like I rolled my eyes, and I was what like 16 then, so already I was like, oh. God, I was not impressed.
Did they crowbar that in then? Is that in the
it's
book?
The
it can't
time
be in
heard
the book.
Any of them swear.
Yeah, it's not even. They don't even say bloody. They say bloody hell throughout this film, like
all
freely.
The time. Yeah,
they don't even do that. the only instance of anything close to a swear word I can recall throughout the books is Molly at the end saying, "Not my daughter, you bitch," to Bellatrix.
Yeah.
I don't think they say bloody hell at all in the books.
I'm sure Ron must, right?
Well, I think that's come about because that's his catchphrase in the film.
Oh, do you think so?
I think so.
Maybe then.
I remember being surprised when I heard it first in the film.
Or do you think Rupert Grint has like a really mild form of Tourette's syndrome?
Maybe.
Just like not a very strong one. Very
any,
just, like,
just,
oh, shit.
Just any mild form of shock. Bloody hell.
Just after every bowel movement. Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, bugger me.
Fuck me in the bunghole.
Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa. Sorry, that's
Rupert. Rupert. Rupert.
But you're right. The pissed off, or the piss off, felt really forced.
Yeah.
Super forced. And it was so, there was such a pregnant pause before
that
it.
He
too.
Laid down, got back up, said it, and then went back to sleep. And it's like,
Nah.
If anything, it should have been the. So they got into bed, he'd laid down, and then the camera, like, sort of switched angles, so it panned down to him, like, facing him, with his head on his pillow, and he just, like, he muttered something under his breath.
Yeah.
Like, fucking orphan cunt. Yeah, that was weird. So it's kind of the Yule Ball comes up next. Oh, no, it's the first challenge.
It's the first challenge.
I forwarded a lot of that.
Yeah, Harry waits for ages before summoning the broom.
Yeah, so true.
He jumps around, dodging stuff.
The dragon scene in general just pissed me off, though.
Yeah,
it was too long.
All the unnecessary flying around the castle. So yeah, first task is done. Next scene we get, or the next note I have anyway, is Hermione reading in the Daily Prophet that Rita Skeeter has written that plain but intelligent girl Hermione Granger has now set her sights on the second famous wizard, Victor Crumb.
Oh, I missed that bit.
And they have not even spoken to each other yet. Literally, the only interaction they've had is Hermione comes into the champion's tent, is speaking to Harry,
yeah.
And then Rita Skeeter comes in and starts taking a picture of Harry and Hermione, like, oh, young love. And then Victor comes up to Rita and says, you need to...
You are not welcome here. Yeah, this tent is for champions and friends.
And that is the only thing that's even vaguely... It's before the Yule Ball still, I think.
Yeah, it's before that, yeah.
There's been no interaction between Crumb and Hermione at all. So Rita prints that, and then Crumb...
You're so right.
Then Crumb asks her to the Yule Ball.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Yule Ball happens and stuff.
The song.
I listened to the lyrics for the first time, like, because usually when I hear it, I just hear it as, like, white noise.
Also, isn't it just Dancing With Myself?
Yeah, it's Billy Idol.
Billy Idol.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's that song, just with the lyrics.
Just with the lyrics slightly changed.
The lyrics slightly changed.
Yeah. Song.
Dancing With Myself.
I know who Billy Idol is, yeah. But I don't know.
It's that.
Music.
And it's just the lyrics are like, dance around like a crazy elf.
Yeah.
Something about a unicorn. Put your hands in the air like an ogre who just don't care. I want to kill whoever did that.
I got the feeling they might have said to Jarvis, do you want to just write your own version?
I think they did.
Right then.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
It's probably on the way to shooting. He was like,
oh, I've got to fit some, yeah, just got to shoehorn some pixie magical shit into this.
Yeah.
And she just had the Spice Girls.
Okay, that's actually a pretty good idea.
Okay, so we've got the Spice Girls at the Yule Ball, Spice Girls in the maze.
They just show up in the maze like, look, I don't know what they put in our drinks, but we fucking just woke up.
We woke up and now we're here.
Yeah.
And we have a riddle for you.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I want, really.
I thought the Yule Ball itself looked pretty cool. I thought, right, if Ron had just not worn the ruff and worn like some skinny jeans and some like, I don't know, like some Chelsea boots or something,
yeah,
and messed up his hair and wore a bit of eyeliner, that like actual coat he had would have like looked pretty sick. It was the way he'd put everything together which made it look crap.
He could have just owned it.
Yeah. And I think by doing that, he would have. But
if it was Fred or George, what were Fred and George wearing? They must have had shitty dress robes as well.
I don't even remember seeing them at the ball.
No, I don't think they were in it.
But if they had the same
shit... No, tell a lie. Quickly, tell me a lie.
You're beautiful and everyone loves you.
Thanks, I can put this gun down now. No, there's in the background, you see whichever one asked Angelina, you see him dancing, and I think he's just wearing a waistcoat. Kind of similar waistcoat to what Ronnie's wearing later. Yeah, why didn't he just wear the waistcoat? Because the waistcoat looks fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if Fred or George had to contend with those shitty old dress robes, they would have just owned it, styled it out.
Yeah.
It'd have been fine. Ron just needs to chill.
Sorry, can we just circle back?
Oh, go for it.
Sorry, about how fucking creepy the Myrtle egg scene is.
Oh, yeah. Good point. So there's a bit of a thread going through this film that I noticed about, like, creepy adult women. Did anyone else feel like Rita Skeeter was a bit pervy towards Harry?
A little bit, but not, I feel like, in a very deliberate... I feel like she's like that with absolutely everyone. So it didn't feel weird as such. It felt like that's just her character in the way that she sort of tries to, like, get stories out of people. So it didn't feel, like, purposely directed at Harry, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So she can't help it, is what you're
saying. Yeah, I feel like...
you're saying it's Harry's fault for teasing her.
Yeah, it's Harry's fault for being so damn hard.
You shouldn't see what he was wearing.
Yeah, he shouldn't dress like that, is what you're saying.
The Myrtle thing, it is creepy. And also, we're kind of, like, bearing in mind that the actress is, like, 35 or whatever. Dude. But Myrtle, the character, is, like, the same age as Harry.
True.
That's true. Even so, that's weird. If that was a boy ghost, it would have been hard, but it's no, just the way, like, when, like, he put his head under the water and she was on the other side of the egg, like, going, like, ah, to the egg, I was like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And then when she, put her head on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And, like, it was unnecessarily creepy, I thought.
I think it cut away at the end of the scene, so we don't really know how that ended.
We couldn't see her hands.
That's true.
Oh, God. Harry just has, like, frostbite on his bollocks.
Harry Potter and the bollocks of frostbite.
Put those in the goblet of fire. Hey, hey, hey. I did like the sort of recurring thing of Filch shooting the cannon too early.
Filch is just kind of a blundering, like, almost slapstick comedy thing in this.
I think I preferred that, though. I think that character really did that whole shtick well.
Yeah, I think so. He's not that in the books,
but I think it was a good
film version of him to be that.
Yeah, I agree.
That's one of the few decisions that were made for this film to change the way the characters are from the books that I did quite like. All right, Graveyard, Dead Cedric.
Ooh, yeah.
So, I don't like how long it takes for Cedric to die, and I don't like how concussive the Avada Kedavra spell is.
Concussive?
It's very much like a boom, just kind of throw him away kind of spell. I want it to be like, I say Avada Kedavra, you see like the flash of green light at the end of the wand, and then just like a real barely visible like green like gust of like wind like passes over the person.
Ooh.
And then they die. I think that'd be a lot more like fucking hell than this like massive like laser spell that happens and throws them across the thing.
It's like something's just bashed you over the head today.
I'd rather it said like if I look at everything that happened and it all went to like slow motion and you just see like the over him and then he just falls back. That'd be a lot more like, oh my god,
it'd be a lot more, it would be a lot more scary.
Yeah,
is that how it's described in the book?
In the book, it's like there's like a green flash of light and a rushing sound.
A Russian sound?
It's not like, it's not described how it is because you die looking like nothing has happened to you.
Whereas... like in communist Russia. Sorry.
Yes, he just tripped and fell. But he's got 7 bullet holes, yes.
Yes, we call it an Epstein.
Yeah, because we see Sirius gets Avada Kedavra'd in film 5.
Yeah.
And it's a really quick like spark of light that hits him.
Spoilers.
Yeah. But and then he floats away into the curtain thing. Yeah. I think that is a lot more, that's closer to what I'm imagining, and I think it works a lot better because it's more, it feels more like something being, like someone being ripped away from you than it does in this film. Personally.
Than just someone being bonked on the head.
Yeah.
I don't think Wormtail is in enough pain for having just cut off his hand.
Dude, why doesn't he just chopped the tip of his little finger off or something. Why doesn't he cut the whole hand
didn't
off?
We speak about this and we were like, we think maybe it had to be a greater sacrifice for it to work.
Right.
So it had to be something he'd fucking miss.
Yeah, it had to be an actual sacrifice.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah, because he chopped off his finger once before.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You could do it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the book, it's like you really get the impression that he's like got this full-on bleeding stump that he's cradling and like sobbing through it and just about managing to perform the rest of the ritual. And then as soon as it's done, he's like in a heap on the floor in pain. He's just going about his business just without a hand.
It should have really been the last thing he did. He should have done everything else with any, and then the hand is the last thing.
Well, yeah, I often think that, but then I get the impression that maybe it has to be in this order, because otherwise why wouldn't you take the blood from Harry first and then make you cutting off your hand the last thing you have to do?
I guess so. Yeah, maybe then. Because in reality, you wouldn't be able to carry on.
No!
Yeah. You would do that and think, I can't, and just be on the floor crying.
Yeah, you need Nurofen. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they duel.
Yes.
At the beginning, when Voldemort's saying, "We bow, Harry," and he makes him bow, at the point where he makes him bow, I don't know if you noticed the Death Eater in the background clapping.
Yeah, I did.
It's just going, "Goot," he bowed.
Priori incantatum, I thought that was great.
Yeah, except the hand doesn't come out.
I didn't mind that, just because I feel like because we don't really get an explanation of priori incantatum,
no,
do we? So I
we
think
don't.
Maybe
Dumbledore just says priori incantatum, and then he goes, "You saw your parents that night, didn't you?"
Yeah,
and done.
Also, wouldn't you get a visual representation of like the spell we just used on Harry as well?
What, to make him bow?
Yeah. That. And
the Cruciatus curse.
So there should have been two Harrys that come out. One who's like doubled over like he's got the shits, and then one who's, I guess, doubled over again like he's got the shits. And then you saw Cedric come out. That should have been that. No, then the hand, sorry, and then Cedric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So when they do the Expelliarmus Avada Kedavra spells, and it's the two bolts hit each other. Mm. What's going on with all that like ectoplasm that's
molten
coming off?
Magic.
Yeah, what is that?
The molten magic aspect is a bit like, do you know when you're in like a really cold climate and you throw boiling water into the air and
it
so
freezes.
It turns, I think it's kind of like that thing. So there must be like not a temperature change, but like a magical equivalent that's happening when they hit each other like that.
Mm. Yeah, a tear in the ether or whatever.
Yeah, I just that's what I think that is.
So nothing scientific about it.
Maybe Harry's spell was just like a lava spell.
Yeah, he's just doing Pepsi and like Mentos.
I was like, Mentos, like Pepsi. Oh, you should have chose Coca-Cola, Harry. It's always the real thing. I got really emotional when his mum and dad came out.
Oh, yeah.
I started crying at that point.
No.
Yeah. But I liked how quickly it all sort of resolved itself and the way he got to the cup and stuff. It all happened very quick, which is faster than it does in the book, and I liked that more.
It's faster than it feels. Yeah, it feels like he's running away for ages, like he's running a long way away from the... Because then in the book, that when their wands meet, they get lifted up off the ground and then taken to a patch of ground further away,
they? Yeah, because that was weird in the book.
Which is bizarre.
Yeah.
And then he has to run all the way back through the graveyard,
Yeah, so I'm glad it happened as quickly as it did. Yeah, so he goes back, and there's a big like roar of applause. I think this whole bit is really good.
I really liked that there was, because it really is quite jarring when he lands back and the whole roar of applause. So you think, oh shit, this is what he left. Yeah, because in the book it is all a bit like there was silence for a long time and then concerned noises and then people swarming him. But like that sudden roar of applause was actually really, really good, I thought.
Yeah.
So I just realised this whole time, I think I've been carrying on, or people might have got the impression that I think the Amos bit is like stupid and I've been making fun of it. When in actuality, Amos Diggory's performance in this bit is maybe like the second best grief acting I've seen from an actor.
Oh.
Only for me.
Who's
personally, Meryl Streep in Sophie's Choice.
Oh, yeah. Good shout. Yeah.
Which is really good. It's all about Nazis, Tom. Yeah, but Amos Diggory, every time I burst into tears, because I've never, other than that one, I've never seen someone just bring that utter like tragedy to life in such a way. Like, and because it feels so real, it feels like that's exactly what a parent would do if they saw their child dead there, you know. And yeah, I just burst into tears, so like, I love it.
I couldn't I can't now separate it from you going bye bye.
Yeah, and then Harry's taken up the back passage.
Now, I didn't watch this version of the movie. Mine was rated 12.
It's Harry Potter and the gobblers.
Yeah, because they end up back in Moody's office pretty quick.
Yeah, and Moody is, in the book, the point at which Moody's Polyjuice potion runs out is while he's unconscious and they sit and wait for it to run out. Here, he's awake and frantically looking around all his stores for more Polyjuice potion.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just happen to have run out at this, to have actually run out at this moment.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that, because I'm sat there thinking, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't remember the book. So I thought, oh, how convenient that you just so happened to not be able to find any at this specific moment.
So when after he's back in Barty Crouch Jr., he pulls back his arm. He says, I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Yeah, it looks
like he's saying that to Harry.
He pulls back
his arm, and he's got the dark mark there, and Dumbledore's like, Harry, give me your arm.
Yeah.
And he pulls back Harry's sleeve to the bit where Wormtail cut him, and he holds it right up next to it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like that's significant somehow.
That whole bit's so weird.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
I'm just as confused as you.
Yeah. It's like the blood like spatter on his arm looks like vaguely similar to the dark mark design. And that's if you look at it, they've done it so it's such a subtle similarity that it's quite easy to miss, but the shape of it is pretty much the same as the dark mark, but it's so small and such a stupid throwaway moment.
I didn't even
spot that.
It just looked like a big gash in his arm to me.
Yeah, see, like, and I think that's why it's stupid, because it's
also, even if it was clearer, still stupid.
There's no reference to it at all. It would have been better for him to say that to Snape, and then Snape to like grab his arm.
I thought that was who he was saying. I was like, oh, what is Snape there? Is this going to be a bit that doesn't happen in the book? And it is a bit that doesn't happen in the book, but it's for good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, that bit's a bit stupid. I think everything after he turns back into David Tennant is stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like bare minimum.
And I don't like it that we don't see what happens to him at the end, which kind of... So if nothing happens to him, as far as we know, then there's no reason that Fudge wouldn't have been told the truth.
Is there a scene with Fudge, with them trying to convince him?
No, there's none of that. All the stuff in book five, in film five, about him not being believed and stuff...
Hasn't been prefaced at all.
...kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot. So there isn't a scene with Harry in hospital wing?
No.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's quite important.
So it'd have to be that Fudge got told the story from Crouch Jr. and still didn't believe it, even though he saw this guy who was meant to be in Azkaban right in front of him.
So has Crouch Jr. gone back to Azkaban?
They literally don't ever see or hear from him again after Snape points his wand at him.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, I think.
The end of the film with Hermione saying, you'll write over the summer, won't you? Ron's going, I won't. You know I won't. You will though, Harry, won't you? Oh, yeah. Every week. Oh, my God. I want to kill all three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, they didn't have a great bit of dialogue to work with there.
I think
that's just the most underwhelming, awful end to a film. Like, it's just, what the fuck was that? I'm sorry. Am I going off on one unreasonably?
No, because obviously Hermione has that, will we have a quiet year at Hogwarts or whatever she says?
Yeah. Will we ever just have a quiet year at Hogwarts, do you think? Yeah. Unlikely.
And it is. It's so good. And you're like, oh, that's the end?
Yeah.
But that ending made me suddenly realise that the passage of time through this movie was completely unclear. Like, I had no idea what time. I thought when we got to that scene, or at least subconsciously, I was like, oh, we're still like, you know, just after Christmas or something.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, it's summertime.
Yeah,
and I had lost all concept of time at that point.
Yeah,
and the film just doesn't convey it whatsoever. Yeah.
It's like, it's this film did the bare minimum throughout.
Yeah.
It cut up the key bits of the plot with the key things that the key characters say and shoved them all together in just the most fucking haphazard way. And it's still fucking 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll do the same with the edit of this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, I think this film is a major fail on almost every level.
Yeah, me too. Which I'm a bit like, because with our book episodes, we rip them, but it is all heavily caveated with we still love these books.
Yeah.
With the films, it's really not. I genuinely fucking hate this film.
Yeah.
The only good thing about this film is that the supporting cast is excellently cast.
Yes.
Like everyone who's all like the new characters who are like the famous British actors are excellent.
Yeah.
Apart from Ray Fiennes.
And David Tennant.
Oh, I forgot about him. David Tennant, fuck them both.
Yeah.
Everyone who's not a villain is good.
We're letting this film get away with way too much. It's rubbish.
I hope people don't become disengaged with us because we genuinely dislike a Harry Potter thing.
I mean, this is the last of the shit films, thank God. Like, all of them are either good or... No, all of them are good after this point.
Okay. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, all of them are very well directed, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we're done.
Yes.
Yes. Stick a fork in us. We're done. So, sorry, just a quick note on the fork bit. The bit where fucking Hagrid sticks his fork into a thingy's hand on the table. I was like, that was fucking... He proper pulls it out.
Yeah,
like it went fully through to the table. I was like,
but I do quite like the, you idiot.
Blood should have been spurting out everywhere at that point. That would have made me happier, I think.
Of course it would.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, we hope you've enjoyed this fucking tearing down of Goblet of Fire.
Let us never talk of this film ever again.
No. But like you say, I'm looking forward to, if what you say is true, that this is the last of the shit films, then I'm looking forward to the rest of the film episodes.
Yeah, it definitely is. I can guarantee there's not a film after this that you guys are going to be like, I really didn't enjoy this.
Guarantee, eh?
Yes. I put my life on it.
Finally, an opportunity.
So, yeah, well, thanks for listening, guys.
Yes. Should we mention that as of the release of this episode, submissions for phrases and punchlines for episode 1 of Order of the Phoenix closed now?
You can if you want. I don't think it's necessary.
Well, I just have.
Oh, God. Right. I haven't got anything more to say.
This has drained the life out of
visit
me.
Visit us on the internet at PoorlyReadPod on Instagram, at PoorlyReadPod on Twitter, or email us at PoorlyRead@gmail.com. I've been Gibson.
And I've been Tom.
And I've been Dan.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.